All right, everybody, it's that time again. Welcome to Geeking Out.
Yeah.
A monthly podcast where we explore better living through the joy of hobbies. We're going to talk about games. We're going to talk about books, cooking, music, movies, camping. We're going to talk about all the stuff that's getting us really, really, really excited. We're going to geek out about it, and we hope you get excited about it, too.
Oh, yes, please.
I'm Mandy.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Cyrus.
All right, guys, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's geek out.
Woo.
Woo.
Welcome one, welcome all back. So happy to have you with us. Again, we love geeking out about so many different things. If my good wife and I had any more hobbies, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves at all.
So we'd have to quit our jobs in order to make room for all
but
our hobbies.
But I make the money to spend the money.
Oh,
it's a vicious cycle. We are going to be talking today. The big topic is camping. Now, for those of you who have never camped, don't worry, we're going to walk you through it. And for those of you who have camped all around the world, there's still going to be something of value for you here. If nothing else, you'll be nodding your head sage-like, saying, yes, I've done that too.
Yes,
or no,
indeed.
No. Cyrus, Mandy, Rich, what are you guys talking about? It's just horrible. But first of all, I'm super excited. Tom Winsleydale. Man About Town, who we keep missing. It's ridiculous. He has sent me pictures of a fantastic little project that he has been working on now and improving over the quite a few years. He has now made the quintessential greatest teardrop trailer I have ever seen.
Yep, it's amazing.
Now, for those of you who don't know what a teardrop trailer is, it's a small two-wheel trailer. It's so light, you can put this thing on a small vehicle. It allows you to go anywhere you like and sleep comfortably, but in the back part opens up and there's this whole galley, so you can do all of your cooking right there. Don't have to worry about building a fire. Unless you like building a fire, go ahead and do so. But his is fantastic, made totally out of wood.
Yep.
And he somehow he put, I think it looks like a chandelier.
I agree. It's amazing. You open it, usually you open up the back of the teardrop and it's just like, hello, there's the kitchen.
Yes.
But you open the back of Tom's up, according to the pictures we've seen, this whole chandelier drops down. It like opens up multiple different
right.
like levels, and it has like a gourmet kitchen. Like, I did not know that Wolf Stoves made stoves for trailers.
Well, the amount of money that you pay,
it's amazing.
I'm pretty sure they'll customize.
I mean, they'll
anything.
Custom anything.
Now, to be fair, we're calling it a chandelier. He's calling it adjustable track lighting. So that's,
I mean,
it's fine, but the whole thing dangles.
Very specific,
and it's got prisms in there to
yeah
fuck okay
it's
so it's
very
it's,
cool.
it's yeah.
So Tom's bringing it down. He's on his way. He's coming from the North Shore.
So he's texting you. He's
okay. Texting with me, and so when he gets a little bit closer, he will text me when he's ready to go. I have put some cones up out in front of the studio here so that Tom has a place to park. I'm sure the Northfield police will be fine with me blocking off several parking spaces.
I got this.
It's
they want to mess with us.
Parking is also one of those sensitive topic.
It is very.
We don't talk about that. You don't talk about Bruno. You don't talk about parking.
So that's what Tom's bringing in for us. We will chat with him later in the show. But before we get to that, let's do our geeking out topic.
Oh, geeking out topic. One of my most favorite. What are you super interested in right now? I hope you at listening right have wonderful ideas of things that are really, really jazzing you up. It could be something as simple as, I got this great book that I've been reading, or I had this fantastic article, or look at this brand new bird that is somehow crapping up all of my driveway. Isn't that interesting? But Mandy, what are you geeking out about right
so
now?
So this is a silly thing, but I think a lot of adults out there, and especially parents out there, will nod their head sagely with me on this one. I had some adult friends over for an adult friend get together at our house the other day.
Oh yeah, nice.
And
it was a good time.
I forgot how nice it is to have adult friends over. It's a silly thing, but it with between work and kids and all of the day-to-day life stuff, mm-hmm. I don't make time to just hang out with my friends on an adult level. Like, I'll hang out with friends when I'm at dance class and we're all at dance class together, or when they come over with their kids and
right.
we're kind of doing stuff, but not just I'm having somebody over for dinner, or I'm having somebody over for drinks and games or whatever. And I had my dance friends over after there was our, because we had a recital last month. And so my dance friends came over and it was just so nice to get to hang out with everybody and just these nice conversations and everything flowed really well. And we played a couple of games and it was just so nice to have that adult one-on-one time where I get to, I just get to, I'm not a mom or a doctor or a sister or I'm a friend and I don't, mm-hmm. that's a role I don't get to do very often.
Yeah.
And I was reminded of how much I enjoy it. So
what was it? And don't quote me on this. But it's apparently in order to create a friendship, you have to spend an exorbitant amount
90
of
hours.
90 hours.
90 hours.
Now, when we're
someone.
Kids,
wait, there's science to this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so back up on this.
So in order to, in order to create a solid friendship,
okay.
You need to spend, and I'm pretty sure that it's the right amount of time, but you need to spend 90 hours with someone, 90 hours of quality time with someone in order to form a solid friendship.
So not consecutive. You don't have to put yourself in a room for 90. Together. I'm pretty sure people would kill each other.
Which is why people form friendships easily in school, mm-hmm. because you're with mm-hmm. people all the time.
All
college,
the time.
You're living with people. Mm-hmm. So those 90 hours go really quickly. But as adults, where we're mostly spending time with our families, not with new people that we're just meeting, except for our workmates. So that's why the work relationships tend to be pretty solid, because you're spending 40 hours a week with these people.
Right.
Whereas it's much harder to form relationships outside of those time frames, because we don't have that 90 hours and really even work relationships are not, that's not 40 hours of really solid, you know, really good time with somebody. So it takes time to build these adult relationships, and that's why it's so hard to build relationships and make friends as adults.
Yeah, when do you have the time?
Pretty cool stuff.
I have to reevaluate everything I'm doing, because I sit with someone for 45 minutes. Not like we're best friends. So I mean, that's just how I am.
But that's the big difference here. It's 90 hours is not spending time with someone and automatically you're bosom buddies. That's not what it is.
It's the quality time.
It's the
90
quality
hours
time.
Of quality
I,
time.
So if you're spending 45 minutes with someone every day and you're throwing pencils back and forth, that's not well.
I mean, I sit and talk with someone for 45 minutes I've never talked to. Suddenly, this is my best friend and will be for the rest of time.
No, you're not going to have some more like weird like Dreamweaver effect around you. Like,
I just love everybody. I guess.
You know, and certainly there's variations, and this is just the average.
I've not spent 90 hours with either of you total yet. I consider you both my friends.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But for me, it's the pheromones. So, I'm sorry about that.
There is that, right? And also the bribes.
Yeah, the bribes and the aftershave and the pheromones. Oh, boy. So you can totally circumvent this 90-hour nonsense. Can we just,
90 hours or $90?
$90.
Yep. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm totally, like, derailing your geeking out.
As we always do. So anyway, that was the end of my geeking out. Okay. I was excited about hanging out with adult friends and looking to do more of that this summer.
Right.
Good. And you do plan on doing it again? Because all the folks, there were what, like six of them?
Yeah. Yep. And then I'm going to have my workmates over this summer.
Yeah.
I have a couple of other groups of friends that I want to have over. We have friends coming over on Sunday.
Yeah,
actually,
it's fantastic.
To play games with us.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
What is your geeking
Rich? What are you geeking out about?
Well, I'm kind of dovetailing off what you're talking about. I am geeking out about summer, right?
Oh yeah.
Specifically, the month of June. This is my favorite time of year. May and June. These are my favorite months out of the year. Now, it also helps that my birthday is June 19th, right? And I'm a guy who loves my birthday.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So, but like this is when things get going. Everyone sort of ramps up for the summer. We're all super happy that the leaves are out and mm-hmm. it's warmer. We don't mind the occasional 90 degree day. Well, some of us do, but I mean, baseball season is happening and is in full swing.
That's right. You like baseball.
There are summer concerts. You know, you get to go hear great music outside. It's just, this is, and because we're in June, round about the 4th of July, right? is when I already start about the end of worrying about the end of summer.
Right?
We're like 9 weeks out and I'm still like, oh God, this is going to, it's going to snow one day. And, but right now I'm happy and carefree and I'm just digging all like, you know, the big movie premieres are everything I love about life that doesn't involve my, well, that does sometimes involve my, no, everything I love about life is at its peak.
In June.
In the month of June.
There you go.
There it
so
is.
So Rich is geeking out about the month of June.
Yes.
Hooray. Mark it in red on the calendar. I love it.
I was slapping the table, slapping his hand. Like, let me tell you a little something.
I get a little passionate.
But that's exactly what the whole show is about. We're about passion. Right, that's why we're here.
I'm literally geeking out about
June. The month. Yeah. That is amazing.
But I totally get the towards the mid part of summer. I think a lot of parents either start looking like, oh, I don't have a whole lot of time left. What do I want to do with the kids? Or good grief, we still got half a summer before the kids go back to school. but it always happens, and I encourage everyone to just really enjoy the time that you got, because I already started thinking about Christmas towards the end of summer, and now I'm not like, well, now I'm not really enjoying fall very much.
Yeah.
All right, what am I doing for the
Halloween.
Kids making all this Halloween and all that stuff? Well, that's gosh.
Awesome.
That is very good. Especially with summertime, there's so much to do.
Yeah.
So much to do here, especially in our beautiful state of Minnesota.
You know what I don't do during the summertime, though, at all? And I don't want to step on your geeking out yet.
What don't you do?
I don't camp.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Rich,
and I'm going to be useless on this show.
Just want to leave the studio?
No, I like to hang out with you guys. You're my friends. We have established this.
Less than 90 hours.
Less than 90 hours.
You're my less than 90 hour friend.
There you go.
Oh, is that how we're dousing? Like, oh, this is my friend. They're my 82, 87
hour. I'm going to start keeping track here.
Like a little logbook.
There's got to be an app for that.
I'm sure there is.
Can I borrow some money? Well, tell me hours I got. Oh, 24 hours.
I don't think we're there yet.
No, no. Emotionally invested in this. All right. My turn.
What are you geeking out about, love?
I very much like hiking. I've always been hiking ever since I was a little kid. That when you're a little kid, you enjoy doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And then later on, when you're a teenager, like you begrudgingly, like I'll go with my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of track down. But I've found a lot of new interest in it, mostly because of this application called All Trails. Which details all the different hiking trails that you can take in your immediate area, in the state and other states. And it details all the places that you can go, where you need to park, how long it's going to take, elevation changes. It'll track where you are so you can actually see on the map.
But also you can share where
you
are.
You can share it.
So he'll share it with me when he's hiking and I can look and see like, oh, he's halfway done. Or, looks like he's just about finished up. I'll send him a quick
That's
good
cool.
job text.
You'll text message like, you know, this is only a 2 mile trail. You've been on that thing for 2 hours. What's going on?
Wait, did you fall?
What's happening? Not really seeing it move.
That's got to be especially useful though for people who like spend their summer doing the Appalachian Trail or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
That's exactly why it was. Why you have that share?
Yeah,
is that it tells people where you are, what your phone battery level is as well. So it gives information out to folks so they know where
to
find.
It's a safety.
Feature. It's a safety feature.
That's awesome.
It also gives me an opportunity, like, okay, I'm going to go hiking. And the wife goes, oh, are you? Are you though? It's like, yes, here, I'll share it with you. And then I attach my phone onto
a deer
dog
or something.
Like,
yeah.
Boy, it's just all over the place. Stay on the trail, Cyrus. Jeez, what are you doing?
Cyrus.
So this year, one of my personal goals was to hike 25 miles.
Okay.
Now, hiking, a lot of people, you know, you hear that. It's like, well, I'm not going to put on a backpack and go off into the wilderness and you'll live off bark and grubs. So that's not what we're talking about here. There are hiking trails that are paved. There are hiking trails that are, you know, just as I described, very rocky, big mess. All Trails helps you figure out what you want to do.
Okay.
That sounds like I'm pitching this. There's no subsidies for this thing.
Geeking Out brought to you by All Trails.
it allows you to really plan your day, understand what you're going to be doing, and it has this wonderful feature where people get to talk about the trails. So you can see what the latest and greatest has been. Like I just walked on this thing 2 days ago when there were mosquitoes everywhere. Make sure that you bring,
Or it's very muddy, so you know, be aware of that. Right. That sort of thing.
Right. That's good. So right now I got 7 miles in 25 miles in total I got to go, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That. Well, that's what we're geeking out about. We'd love to hear from you about what you geek about. Go ahead and contact us at any particular time. You can reach us over at fathergeek@gmail.com or where else can they find us?
We studio at kymnradio.net.
There we go.
We're also, you know, you can find us on the KYMN Facebook page.
The interwebs.
Yeah, exactly.
Socials.
You know. Yeah, and we are on the website as well. By the way,
yes,
I don't want to get ahead of myself here,
uh-oh,
but I have a meeting set up with my web designer on Tuesday.
Oh,
could be by the time this episode airs, you guys would have your own
yay
section of
yay
the KYMN website.
That's there we exciting go.
It's only taken people 9 months.
Hey, look, better late than ever.
But don't worry about it, because friendships take 90 hours, and maybe a oh, really great go website
see
takes
apparently websites 9 months. Also take 90 hours.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Well, let's get into our geek topic for the month.
All right,
I'm so
geek
excited
topic
about this.
All right, so this is a great transition, going from hiking to camping.
Camping.
Now, for those of you who are listening right now, and your hands are getting all sweaty, and like, ah, oh, I can't do camping, it's so complicated. It does require a little bit of planning.
Yep.
But to what extent that planning is necessary all depends on what type of camping you'll be doing. So we're going to talk about lots of different ways that you can camp.
Yep.
The traditional, of course, with a tent, hopefully by a majestic lake, yeah, as you hear the loons in the background as you paddle softly across the crystalline waters. Or sleeping in the back of your car.
Yep. That's an option. And so kind of back up just a little bit. Cyrus and I have both been camping our entire lives.
Entire lives. My second house was a tent.
Like, even from when we were very, very little, we've been camping. We've done all sorts of kinds of camping. Cy is an Eagle Scout.
Yep.
So he had lots of camping through that. I have done car camping, backpack camping, canoe camping, just like all sorts of different kinds of camping. We've both been doing it our whole lives. So we're very passionate about it. We both really love it. Our kids are growing up camping and love it.
Although we're in that weird stage where, like,
some
I've been
them,
camping this whole time.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to camp.
Some of them are.
They'll come back
the older teens are like, oh, I've done this so many times. I don't want to do it again.
There's no internet.
It's like, yeah, because there's no internet.
I can't use my phone.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's what our kids sound like, by the way. Like, it's like totally dead on.
No, not at all. So as Cy said, there are so many different ways to camp. So this isn't necessarily like, just going to go pitch a tent and I'm out in the middle of the woods and there's nobody around. I think probably the most common kind of camping that people are used to is what I grew up calling car camping. So that's where you drive your car in, you're at a campsite or a campground. Usually the campsites will have a tent pad for you to set up your tent. That's all nice and cleared out. And it's usually like nice gravel or grass or something like that. So it's not rocky generally. A fire pit and a picnic table.
That's all you need.
So you have all those things, and there's usually bathrooms fairly close by, so you can use either like an outhouse type thing, or a lot of campgrounds nowadays have bigger shower houses and all this other stuff. So
really nice, especially in Minnesota.
The state parks. We're
the
gonna
state
talk,
parks are doing
talk
fantastic
about the state
job
parks
with that.
Coming up here, but that's not the only kind of camping you can do.
Oh,
there's,
no.
There's also camping. So, and this can range from a small camper, like we have a teardrop trailer. Our teardrop trailer.
Not as nice as Tom's.
Not as nice as Tom's. I don't think anyone's is as nice as Tom's.
A chandelier, for goodness sakes.
So a teardrop trailer and all like a pop-up trailer. So they're all kind of similar, but they'll have, I know our teardrop has a place to sleep. It has like a queen size bed in it. And then it has the back hatch opens up and it's a kitchen. So it has like a little two burner stove and countertop and that sort of stuff.
You more can, than enough for a family.
Yeah,
so
it's perfect.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you.
They're not sleeping with us.
All seven of us are not sleeping in there.
Just two.
But for organizing and really helping out with a larger family, it's beautiful.
Yep.
Brilliant stuff.
And then you can go all the way up to these massive fifth wheel campers.
Have you seen these?
You see them all over the place.
It's bigger than my first apartment and bigger than my first house.
And those will have like multiple bedrooms. They have bathrooms in there. They have water connections so you actually can flush the toilet. They have electric hookups so you can actually watch TV in there. Like,
that's my kind of camping.
And that's a lot of people's kind of camping, which is perfect. Other types of camping, backpack camping. So I grew up doing this when I was younger, where you put all of your gear in a hiking backpack and you hike however many miles somewhere and you set up a tent and camp, or what I used to do up in Alaska when I was a kid growing up. We would do backpack camping, but we would there's a system of cabins, like remote cabins in Alaska, so you can hike to a cabin. And so you don't have to bring a tent or anything. You just bring your sleeping bag. The cabins have a stove. They have an outhouse. They have bunk beds and a shelter. Of course, usually like a really nice porch. They're often on a lake. And so you hike in and you stay at the cabin, and then you can hike to another cabin and stay at that cabin. It's amazing. It's really nice. We grew up doing this when I was a kid. I don't know if Minnesota has anything like that.
I don't think I realized you grew up in Alaska.
Yeah, I did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. I think I'm up to like 12 states at this point that I've lived in.
Oh, yeah. Right? I thought I lived a lot of places, and then I met you like, oh, but
mostly
you
Alaska.
Beat me. Totally beat me.
When is the geeking out travelog?
I know, right?
Oh, we still love traveling. Fun. Yeah, and I've done the backpack camping where you put everything that you need to survive for a week on your back. You divide it up amongst all the people around there, and you just go. Yep. You tell everyone where you're actually going, and you have a plan. So you know I'm going to stay at campsite A on this day, campsite B at this one, and you just run off of there. There's lots of different ways that you can, quote-unquote, backpack.
Yeah, so lots of different stuff. Canoe camping is another one, mm-hmm. With the Boundary Waters here in Minnesota. I think that's one I had never done until I moved here, but now I've done a bunch. And so it wasn't something that I ever did as a kid growing up, but I've done a lot as an adult. And with that one, you pack all your gear up, you stick it in a canoe, and you paddle to a campsite.
Yep. You're not hiking, you're paddling.
You're paddling. And there's usually portages, so you have to carry all your gear in your canoe from lake to lake. And then the Boundary Waters has really nice, the portages are are generally very nice, depends on the portage, but and then they have lots of designated campsites throughout the Boundary Waters that have, again, a bathroom, a fire pit, like a bathroom and a fire pit, that's mm-hmm. what they have. The bathrooms are bathrooms are funny in the Boundary Waters. I always joke, so you know an outhouse is a house around a little pit toilet.
Yes.
So you just poop in a pit, whatever.
Really? Is that
yes,
what you do?
That's what you do.
Thank you, honey. That's things. Great.
The Boundary Waters.
I was unclear of yes, the was, concept, so thank
I
you.
I don't know where you're coming from. So.
I'd like to see your quote, your source on that.
Leave it to the physician to very casually. Yeah.
And then in the Boundary Waters, the pit toilets are the outhouse minus the house. So it's it's just a pit.
It's just a pit right there.
With a little like seat that you can sit on, but there's no house.
Yeah.
So I always call it's not an outhouse, it's just an out. There's no house. So, but
those are fantastic.
I love them, actually.
So, boy, we're getting out of weird.
Just kind of sitting there looking at all the trees, doing your business.
It's a weird tangent because I very much like the big old vault toilets that they have up in the Boundary Waters.
Yeah,
you sit down. Well, you do a quick little reconnaissance, make sure there's nothing underneath it that could come up and bite you or sting you, which is just common sense, folks. Come on, before you squat, take a look.
Yep.
But the really most majestic place I've ever sat in one of those things when I was backpacking with a bunch of scouts over in Philmont, mm-hmm. and just taking a poop. While you're observing the mountain range.
It's a toilet with a view.
It was a wonderful experience. I can barely say this with a straight face. Yeah. It was a wonderful experience. I journaled that night.
I bet you did.
About that. And my sitting down and observations played out prominently across the pages.
They did. So canoe camping is another kind of camping. Most or a lot of campgrounds will have also, in addition to like drive-in sites like we talked about with car camping, they also may have walk-in sites where you park at a parking lot, you have a little like wheelbarrow that you use to walk a little ways down the path to set mm-hmm. yourself up so that it's a little bit further away, a little bit more remote.
And that's usually for the larger groups.
Not necessarily. So some of the group camping ones, but there are Minnesota State Parks that have walk-in campsites.
Right,
or
and that's
carded campsites.
And traditionally, if you got a carded one, the view is much better. And
of course,
there's a lot more privacy.
Yeah.
But you can really get out in the woods.
Yeah, you have to. The more effort you have to put into getting to a campsite, generally, the fewer people there are.
Yes.
So, which is nice. So, lots of different ways to camp, lots of different options. We love them all. We've done pretty much all of them. But we also love to camp. So,
Mandy just shared a lot of different ways to camp. Traditionally, it's broken down into one or two areas. You're either on the ground or you're not.
Yeah.
And there's stages, of getting off the ground. I think everyone should start, go out, camp on the ground. You can buy very nice mats for yourself, yeah, or just
yep. And that's what we did exactly. As kids.
And yeah, you know, if you got back problems, you know, think it through. But then you go from like a ground mat up to a cot if you want.
Yep.
And
we have an air mattress.
We have an air mattress. We have a cot at home. That, we do. The silly thing is more comfortable than quite a few beds I've ever have slept in. It's got bungee cords.
Nice.
It's crazy. Yep. It's fantastic.
Nice.
Right. And then eventually you move into the trailers and all that. Now, the nice thing is if you're interested in trailer camping, you can rent these.
Yes, you can. Yep. You can rent. I don't know the website for it, but you can rent trailers. So if you wanted to do some trailer camping, you can look into it, and they're pretty simple to rent, and they'll give you instructions. And so that's a nice way to do that, and nice way to maybe get into camping without having to sleep on the ground or really invest in a whole lot of stuff.
But let's talk about the investment of the gear. All right, so you decided that you want to go camping for the first time, and you're thinking stuff. All right, I'm just going to do a little car camping, which I don't want to confuse people, because there is sleeping in your car, which is no fun,
never come.
But you can actually buy additional attachments, so you just kind of open up your car, you open up the back, and boom, you're ready to go. So that's very much
a whole other thing
you can do there. So you decide you're going to do some car camping. You're just going to roll up to your site, take everything out of your car, and go. What is the minimum things you think people should bring with them?
Sleeping bag, sleeping pad. Yeah. You don't want to sleep directly on the ground. It's very uncomfortable. Tent. Probably something for cooking. So
If you want to cook, you don't necessarily have to,
but like a camping stove or that sort of thing.
Would you just then, if you don't want to cook, do you just like forage?
Yes.
Yes, Rich. That's exactly what you do.
Be careful about what berries and mushrooms you're eating.
The mushrooms, I'm intrigued.
You grab your Bowie knife and you go out there and you find yourself a gator. Yeah.
You were talking about slugs.
Yes.
Slimy yet satisfying.
Actually, they're terribly dense with calories, but I am such a fool for it. You mean I start on one to like Doritos. I just can't get enough of those slugs.
Yeah. They also leave you with gross stuff on your hands, just like Doritos.
Just like Doritos. So.
There you go. Yes, exactly. But I think that's probably the minimum for what you would want to do. But I have some suggestions.
Let's hear them.
So let's say you want to go camping, but you don't necessarily want to invest in the gear because you don't know if you're going to like it. You don't know if you're ever going to want to do this again. Mm-hmm. So like, what are some options for that?
Gear can be astronomically expensive. There is no end to the amount of money you could spend on camping and hiking and outdoors activity gear. I mean, there are companies out there like REI, for example. Mm-hmm. Every time I walk in there, it's like, honey, take my wallet.
Yeah, legit, because we always find something we want.
I mean, even just a small little thing. It's like, I did not know that I needed a compass that also told me the time.
Right.
That also
And the temperature.
You know, this is fantastic.
And the barometer.
And your elevation.
And my elevation. Yeah.
And baby, look, it's only $85.
$85. It has Bluetooth.
And I was going to say, it's on the
It's got Bluetooth. And look, it comes in your color choice.
Yeah, look at that. There's multiple choices. So if
you saw you coming 8 miles away.
Oh, yeah. They start licking their lips like, look at that bald middle-aged man there. He's looking to regain his youth somehow. Yeah, come buy my gear. Yeah.
I can tell by those glasses he's going to buy this car.
Oh, yeah. Look at this spring chicken. He's coming.
So if you've never camped before and you're interested in camping, one option is find a friend who does camp.
Oh, that's the best way to do it.
And ask them to go with. So see if they'll go camping with you. And that's always nice because then you have someone that's kind of an expert that's done it before, has the gear you need, and they can kind of walk you through how to set up a tent, how to start a fire, how do we go about doing that. So if you have a friend that's a camper and is willing to go camping with you, that is always a great option.
That's really kind of the best.
Yeah, if that's the best option, if you can do that. If you don't have a friend that's a camper, or your friends that are campers are like, yeah, no, I don't. I only go camping with my husband, or they just don't want to go camping with you for some reason.
I played a weird favorite. It's like, I only go camping with redheads.
Yeah.
You are clearly not.
Yes.
Are you Norwegian? I can't camp with you.
I can't camp with you.
Yeah.
I need to see your genealogy background.
It's your genetic code.
So the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and Sai and I do most of our camping through Minnesota State Parks.
Mm-hmm.
We love their campground system. They always have really nice facilities and really nice amenities. There's lots of hiking trails. There's water there. It's just all really nicely set up. So we almost always camp through the state parks. But the state park system has a program called the ICAN program. Okay. And one of the subsidiaries of this, so they have like an ICAN fish. They have an ICAN paddle. They have ICAN hike, I think. I was just looking at this the other day. But they have an ICAN camp program. And so what it is, you sign up for it, they provide the tent, the sleeping pads, and an expert that will help you get your campsite set up. They will help you, show you how to start a fire. They will ask any questions that you have, whether you think they're stupid or not. They will ask all or answer all questions that you may have about camping. Mm-hmm. You just have to provide a sleeping bag. They provide the site, they provide the person, they provide all of the other gear to help really get you set up for a successful situation.
And that is an ridiculously awesome
do
program.
They spend the night with you? Do you have to like is
I yeah. don't
yes,
think
they
so.
Spoon you at night and they say so what is that noise outside?
They,
and they go,
they better be telling me a bedtime story. Yeah.
Right? I mean, shh, Rich, it's okay. It's just a bear. He's not interested in you.
I like bears. I want to go see the bear.
No,
Rich, stay here. Stay here.
So I don't think so.
That's good.
They like get you all set up to have to be successful.
I want all your help, and then I want you to go.
And
away.
Then I want you to go so I can experience it myself. Yeah. And they have a one night option. They have a two night option. They have a canoe campsite options where they will show you how to paddle.
Cool.
And then you will then get you set up at a paddle in at a canoe and campsite because mm-hmm. some state parks have those. So it's a really neat program, especially for someone that has never camped before, really interested in doing it, but doesn't have the resources or like doesn't have the gear to do it. Mm-hmm. You can just go to the Minnesota DNR website and just search under the ICAN program and it'll give you all the information there.
They feel like I can't.
Yeah, but it's. I think what a great opportunity.
I had
to
no
encourage,
idea
to encourage that, people.
I'm part of the reason I'm not the Mr. Outdoors guy is because I tried Boy Scouts for a little while and it didn't really take.
Uh-huh.
And I've never like when I was a kid I just never did any of this stuff.
Yeah, and right? We both grew up doing it.
Yeah.
Regardless of how we felt about it.
Yeah.
I was just five. Like, my parents went camping. Said like a good idea to go with them. You know,
It's just one of those things. So that's a great option for if you've never done that sort of thing. And then also, like Si said, you can also rent trailers. So if mm-hmm. you're like, I really want to try trailer camping, but I don't want to buy a trailer because they're really expensive, and I don't have a friend that's willing to lend me their trailer because they're really expensive, you can go ahead and rent one. And it's a great way to give it a try and see what you think about it. So,
But there's the next level there that we should also make sure that we point out. Yeah. So if you do have your own gear, that's great. But maybe you don't want to pack it all. Maybe you don't have all the necessary pieces. You can then use groups that are commonly referred to as like outfitters. Right? Yeah. Outfitters. Mm-hmm. We love using outfitters when we go to the Boundary Waters, for example, because they'll do all the packing for you. They'll organize all the pieces for you. The point being here is that if you never have, don't worry. There are programs out there and people very pleased to help you make sure that you're organized and ready to go. It should not be so scary as to think that, I can't, I don't have anything. No problem. They've got you.
So, and Boundary Waters Camping is one of the ones where I think outfitters are very much involved in, and that's mm-hmm. where we've always used them before. But it's really nice for the outfitters for the Boundary Waters, and I know there's a bunch there's one big one, Paragis, out of Ely. There's some also up on the Gunflint Trail, which is the other side of the Boundary Waters, where they can provide, maybe you just need like, I need a canoe and I just need a canoe. That's all I need. Great. They'll rent you a canoe for the week or for the 4 days or whatever you're doing, all the way up to, I have literally no gear and I need you to provide everything for me, including a guide, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, they'll send a guide.
They do that too.
Right. Which will not sleep in your tent, Rich, before you ask. And just get off that question.
But they'll provide like the canoe, they'll provide all the life jackets, they'll do all the packs, they'll even do your food, they'll provide your tent, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And set a trail for you, set the route that you're going to take, and they have a guide that comes with you to show you how to do all this stuff. So, lots of options to get out there. So like Si said, if, let's say you've camped before, but you've never Boundary Waters camped. There's people that can help
with that.
Take it. Let's say you've never trailer camped. Great, you can rent a trailer. Let's give that a try. So there's so many different ways to get out and enjoy being out in the woods. So
I got a very funny story. So when you mentioned that you should always go with somebody else, right? Yeah, it, especially if you're learning.
Yeah,
right.
If you're learning for sure.
Learning for sure. so that there was this lovely couple from India. They had recently over to the United States, and they always wanted to go camping. So I thought, well, this is what Americans do. To which I responded to him like, well, you know, some Americans, I don't know. not everyone camps. It's not for everybody. So they decided they want to go camping with us when we went up with their family. So we took them over to Two Harbors. Fantastic, nice. Easy little campground there. It just happened to be the day that it was just going to be raining.
Right,
for the next 3 days, deal. And you can buy tents that will deflect most of the water. Yeah. I've never been in a tent that deflected all of the water.
Yeah.
They will find holes in the seams. But everyone was getting wet. I had the whole kids running around, getting all muddy. Decided that I'm tired of this. We're going to go ahead and buy some tarps. Well, the only tarps I could find were the ones that you use when you're, you put them on the house because you're doing some sort of insecticide.
Like,
just huge tarps. So we did it, and we set all these things up, and I tied every single knot that I knew and invented some in the process. Yeah, so everyone was dry. This whole thing looked like a shanty town.
Yeah.
Did come over. And when we were done, we took all the, and we actually still have some of those tarps.
We do still have some of those tarps.
Tarps are ridiculously
They're very
good.
Useful.
Very useful. They're horribly hard. The I broke him. So he no longer camps. He has decided that camping is not for him. I have mentioned to him several times, like, look, you want rain sometimes. Sometimes it's too hot. You do not remember the camping trips that went perfectly.
Mm.
In fact, if you go camping, expect to be uncomfortable. But not to a point where, like, oh, this is horrible. I never want to do this again. No, in his case, I think we did that.
Yeah, that was the bad circumstance.
But all the camping trips that I remember a great deal and still make me smile to this day are the ones where something went wrong. Yeah, something went wrong. Now, you know, not like somebody lost a finger or we lost somebody, you know, for several days in the woods.
I have a
story about that, actually. You know, but it's a fantastic one. One of my favorite ones as a kid is we had to wake up when I was with the scouts. We had to wake up in the middle of the night because there was a forest fire.
Oh dear.
There's a forest fire just on the other side of the ridge. This is when we lived over in Colorado.
Yeah.
So I was one of the senior scouts. We had to wake everyone up very quickly, collapse everything, throw it all in our
tents.
Bug out like you're in MASH.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite camping trips.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So I had two other questions that I want to try to hit before we move on to our next thing. So we talked about some of the basic gear that you need, like kind of the minimum stuff. But what are some of the often overlooked essentials that you need to remember when you go camping? I mean, we all know the obvious essentials like the tent and the sleeping bag. But Cy, what are some of the things that you feel like people should really consider bringing this? It will make the trip a lot more comfortable or better. Go.
All right. You definitely need to think about what the weather is going to be like. Normally people can just look and see what's going to happen here, but you're dressing in layers if you can, because then you get hot, take off the sweatshirt, you get cold, you throw it on. It's just very different because you're outside, and tents don't really keep heat a lot. So you definitely want to make sure that you dress accordingly, but also just something as simple as you bring water.
Yeah.
Because you'll be walking around, be playing outside a lot. Bring bug spray, especially here in Minnesota, and bring sunscreen.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than that. But also you have a little first aid kit if you have one. We're making camping sound like, make sure that you bring your Kevlar helmet, enough ammo. No, nothing like that. Just a lot of the things that I always consider to be necessary have to do with safety. But on the other side of that, bring a deck of cards.
Yep, something to do if it's a rainy
cribbage
day.
Board.
Cribbage board.
Yeah, cribbage board. I really love Farkle.
Yeah,
when we ever camp, because all you need is just a flat surface and off you go.
Dice, yeah,
and dice, and you're all set.
Yep. I would say for me, rain gear. I don't care if the forecast says it's going to be gorgeous the whole time. Bring rain gear.
Oh, and it never fails. Mandy will tell me, "Well, we should bring some rain gear." It's like, "Well, is there any rain?" you know, suggest it. She's like, well, no, it's just a good idea. Like, well, it's not just a good idea. So I will not bring it. And then it'll rain. She'll sit there and just like, how's that working out for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, a little damp over there.
So hey, always there, bring rain gear. Always bring rain gear. And even if it just stays in the car the whole time, bring rain gear.
Bring it.
I like having headlamps for bathroom trips in the middle of the night.
Freeze up your hands.
That's very nice to have. Newspaper for starting fires. You can certainly collect leaves and stuff, but newspaper is so much better. So having that. Camp chairs. We love our camp chairs for sitting around the fire. And we upgraded last year to stadium chairs. So rather than being like the ones where you can barely get up, these ones are a little more upright and they have a little table next to them.
Yeah. So remember when I said there's no end to the amount of money you can spend on things? Chairs happens to be one of those.
One of those.
One of those easy ones that you can start. Well, how much money we spend? Like thousands of dollars on these.
Yes. I mean, no. It was $80 for the two chairs. But and then one of the things that you and I love that probably isn't a necessity, but is our bug house. So we have this big pop-up thing that goes over the picnic table that both protects against bugs and rain. So if it's a rainy trip, we can go hang out in the picnic table and not have to be stuck in our tent the whole time. Right. We can play games and that sort of thing.
It worked out really well.
Yeah. And then the other question I wanted to hit before we're out of time is, what is your favorite part about going camping?
Oh, you start first.
Okay. So my favorite part about going camping is the ability to unplug from real life. It's the ability to not have to worry about chores, not have to worry about what's going on with my email, what's coming up next week. It's just I get to disconnect from everything and just be present with the people I'm camping with and the nature and just step out of my real life for a weekend and get to do that. I also love unplugging from technology, and I make it a point not to bring a watch when I go camping. I eat when I'm hungry. I sleep when I'm tired. I make it a point not to look at my phone and just try to keep it off and in the car. So I don't need to be checking my text messages when I'm camping. I just want to be present with nature and with the people I'm with. And that is my favorite part about camping.
That's really nice. The downside of that is asking, like, well, how long is this going to take? And you didn't bring a watch. You're like, well, I'll see you when I'm hungry again. Like, when is that?
Wait a minute.
I need more time. My favorite part about camping is the forced difference of thinking while you're going about your daily activities. Every day we wake up in the same bed, in the same house, in the same apartment. We go to do the same things. When you go camping, everything is kind of thrown up in the air. You don't have any control of the weather. Don't have any control of the animals around you. You have a great deal more to think about. But not in a sense where you ever feel overwhelmed. It's just a very different approach to living your day than what you have in any other time. And I don't mind feeling uncomfortable or, you know, this is harder this way. I like the change. Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy camping so much, is that it's a wonderful way to break out of the norm of your everyday grind and go do something interesting. Go, you know, sleep outside underneath the stars. It is also very interesting to live by the light that's available to you versus, you know, walking into your house. And, you know, in our house, we could have the thing as bright as the sun if we wanted it, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, just turning on all the lamps.
Some of our children still do that.
No matter what I want to do, like, you know, they're going to keep the lights on.
The lights.
All right.
Rich.
Yes, Rich.
Is there a? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
it's funny though. You're just raising your hand, like, yes, Rich, in the back. Thank you for contributing. Go ahead.
Is there a season that you like to camp? Like, is there a preferred season?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's
a great question. Or do they all work for you?
So I've camped in all seasons.
I have never winter camped, and I am A-okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm fine with doing it. So my favorite time to camp is the fall because it's cooler at night. You can have a fire in the evening and actually need it for warmth. You get to snuggle up under your blankets or snuggle with your husband at night in the tent or in the camper. So that's my personal favorite time, but I absolutely will camp all the way from about end of May, early June through October.
Okay.
We do usually camp with the kids in the summer. It's buggier and hotter in the summer, but there's more stuff you can do, and there's better light, so there's more hours. What's your favorite time of camp?
Fall as well. Cooler nights. The days can be weirdly warm.
Yeah.
But there's just a smell in the air. It just feels
leaves are really
nice. My least favorite time to camp is spring. It's wet. It's not the wet so much. It's just it's not as interesting. I love seeing the different plants, the flowers, all the growth that's going on. You depending on when you want to go in the spring, it's like, well, it looks like the world's still kind of waking up. Or yeah. Either way, it's just kind of messy. Winter camping, I really enjoy. It takes a lot of additional planning. Mm-hmm. A lot of additional planning.
Unless you do something like the backpack camping I did as a kid, where you backpack in and then stay at a cabin.
Yeah. Right.
And actually, the state parks have camper cabins that you can rent.
Yes, they do.
That are, it's just a little cabin. It has a stove and bunk beds.
And insulation.
And insulation. some of them are heated.
Yes, they are.
And they have electricity. So that's another great option if you want to do winter camping but don't want to sleep on the ground and have to deal with the whole thing. So, so many choices.
Yeah.
Rich, we talked a lot. Do you have any questions? This is a nice thing. Did you learn something?
I'm learning all kinds of this I Can program is crazy. Like, but I'm very, very interested in the I Can Fish thing. But that's a different conversation. Your kids.
Yeah.
Do they like to camp, or is it like you're dragging them along?
No, they all love it.
It's
to different degrees. Our 20-year-old is flexing his 20 and being like, oh, I don't want to camp with you guys anymore, blah, 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 because he's 20.
Yeah, yeah.
But he likes camping.
He does.
And everybody really enjoys it. The girls, our 12 and 9-year-old, love it and look forward to it every year and love getting dirty and love help. I'm the fire maker when we go camping. I'm the one that's in charge of the fire. And
you're the pyro?
Brad.
It's because I make a better fire than you. But all the kids are like trying to get in on that. Yeah. And I'm slowly starting to give up some of those reins and being like, fine, you can help me start the fire.
If you teach them properly and they make the fire to your specifications.
Yes, exactly. Right? Exactly. It's fun. But
They all enjoy it because we started them pretty young.
Very
young. Yeah.
Very young.
That's the key.
I took the girls camping when they were still like babies.
Diapers. One of the things that I packed in the back of the car, other than all the gear that we need to go camping, was the baby Wrangler.
The
pack and play.
Yeah.
Right. You slow that down, put the kid in there, make sure that you're fine. You're not going anywhere.
Yep. Well,
all right.
It's cool.
So we hope that you consider camping. If you do camp a lot, great. Take the opportunity to share that interest with other people. I guarantee you there are individuals out there who would like, I've always wanted to, but I don't know how to start. That's it. Let's hear from our friends over at Content.
Yeah.
And through the magic of time and editing, we are sitting with Jessica Peterson-White of Content Bookstores. Hello, Jessica. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Doing okay. We're talking today on Geeking Out about camping. What are your thoughts on camping?
Camping is something that I like the idea of more than the reality.
Mm.
I really love to be in the woods. I love to be in nature.
Yeah.
I just don't do very well sleeping on the ground.
Oh, I'm totally with you. I don't. My idea of camping is a Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't even mind like a cabin, you know,
absolutely.
Like a really cabiny cabin.
Right.
But tent camping, no, it's not my jam. I did it a lot as like growing up, and I've woken up in the rain, in the dark, enough times. And I just don't need to do it anymore.
No,
but I love the concept of like sleeping out and being in nature and far away from anywhere else.
Right.
It's all really good for the soul.
The romantic notion is a good one.
Yes.
It's just a practical application. It gets to be difficult.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. But that's, not to criticize anyone who loves and actually does
more
it.
Power to them. Yeah. I admire it immensely, actually. And I my husband, if he were here, would probably say that like every 3 or 4 years there'll be some random day in May or June where I'm like, maybe we should go camping. And then he's like, honey, you don't really want to go camping. And I'm like, you're right.
Yeah,
I don't.
Exactly.
I think the other thing that's like, I think if someone else would pack everything for me.
Oh, yeah.
And plan all the stuff I need to take with me.
Right.
That would really take the edge off for me, too. But as a mother to 3 children, like going anywhere.
No.
Going out to dinner requires like a lot of gathering up of things getting in the car is a hassle. And
it's the mobilization of a small army.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And camping would be that times 100.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's camping then.
Yeah.
What I'm far more interested in talking about,
sure,
is Paperback Summer.
Yes.
At Content Bookstore.
Let's talk about Paperback Summer. It is all one right. of our favorite things that we do all year.
Tell us about it.
So Paperback Summer is a promotion that we run every year from June 15th to August 15th. So you have a good long time to take advantage of it. It's okay. 2 whole months. And we hand select. It's a team effort. The whole staff comes together and we spend all year nominating and selecting and discussing which titles should go on the list. And we choose 10 adult fiction titles, mm-hmm. 10 adult nonfiction titles, mm-hmm. 10 young adult novels, mostly novels. There might be, sometimes there's a little nonfiction scattered in there, which are great for teens and also for grownups, and 10 middle grade books.
Okay.
And we feature those in the store. They're all paperbacks, so they're all like an affordable thing that you don't mind if you have to, you know, leave it behind at the airport because your suitcase is too heavy. Mm-hmm. It's easy to throw in your beach bag.
Nice.
Doesn't matter if it falls off the boat. It's okay, right? It's all low-key paperback yeah. books. But we think they're all really great summer reads. And we interpret summer read broadly, but we try to keep them, you know, entertaining, fun, informative, interesting, mm-hmm. engaging. Things that we just think are going to make a great thing to read, whether you're chilling out in the hammock in your backyard or getting on a plane somewhere for a yeah. big adventure or whatever you might be doing. All so, right. And then we offer 10% off all of those books
wow.
from June 15th to August 15th. And it gets better. But ooh, wait,
there's more.
Or they're 15% off if you buy two. They're 20% off if you buy any three titles at the same time. And so we have really pretty little bookmarks at the store that are kind of collectible that list, we have 4 different bookmarks that list all the books that are part of Paperback Summer this year. So you can pick those up at the store. You can find them on our website at contentbookstore.com. You can come in and chat with our staff about them because a lot of us have read a lot of them. I don't think any of us have read all 40.
Okay.
But between us, we have read all 40.
But like pick any 3 people and you could probably you like can probably cover a lot together, of it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all we make sure we spend a lot of time talking to each other mm-hmm. about the books so that
nice.
We know them well. We can chat with people about them and they are hand selected with the Content Bookstore stamp of approval for your summer reading
outstanding.
Pleasure.
Outstanding. What a cool mm-hmm. program.
Yeah, we
that's
love it.
Great.
It's always a good time.
And I just love paperback books in general.
Exactly.
I like paperbacks far more than I like yeah, hardcovers.
I generally do too. Every once in a while I want a hardcover. If you know, if I'm going to have the author sign it or something,
right? But mostly right, like, but that's like a that's like a collector's thing. Like
exactly.
I just
like
would
I
like
might
to
not even read it then. It's
right,
just
exactly.
It's more of a shelf trophy.
And I don't know. You might think that I'm a heathen for this, but like, to me, a book hasn't been loved
mm-hmm.
until it's been read and like the binding's been broken. Ooh. See, I do. I'm big. It's like the Velveteen Rabbit, right? And rubbing off
the
fur and
real.
Yeah, it's real,
yeah.
right? That's mm-hmm. and that's what you do. What I do with paperbacks.
Yeah, right? I hear that. Yeah. I hear that. I mean, I do think there is a realness to a really well loved paperback, especially one if you've like handed around to friends
yes.
and
yeah.
multiple people have read it.
Right.
Then it becomes like a Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants thing too.
Indeed,
mm-hmm.
indeed. All right. So there's some events coming up. Through
indeed.
Content as well.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Steve Grove is coming
Steve
to town.
Steve Grove is coming to town. It's going to be
Northfield's
so great.
Northfield's favorite son, or latest.
I'm so sorry about my cough.
Sorry.
Wednesday, June 25th, 6:15 to 8:30 at the Grand Event Center. One of our favorite local partners
yes.
is hosting. Steve Grove has written a beautiful book called How I Found Myself in the Midwest. There will be music starting early at 6:15 provided by Craig Wozner and Mike Hildebrandt. So it should just be a totally delightful evening. Steve is going to do kind of a conversation about his book with Benya Kraus, who's president of the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation.
Mm.
There will be food on offer at the Grand. So come early, get a bite to eat, get a cocktail or a glass of wine or a beer. And hang out.
Nice.
It's going to be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it should be a really, really good evening.
Yeah,
we're getting really strong response to this. So I'm really glad we're doing it at the Grand. There's plenty of room there.
I'm literally
hundreds of people. So
that's
come
fantastic.
On down.
I have a deep desire to read this book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's going to be super.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. What else?
Also this week, on Sunday, June 22nd, we have a poetry event with Diane LeBlanc and Jennifer Kwan Dobbs, who are both Northfield poets, who are fantastic. It's going to be a really great event. Jennifer's got a book of poems called Interrogation Room, and Diane has a book of poems called The Feast Delayed. That's at 2 p.m. this Sunday afternoons at Northfield. Always a great time.
Yes.
To come into the air conditioning.
Indeed.
And sit and peacefully enjoy some poetry.
Indeed.
It'll be great.
Yep.
And also coming up at the very end of this month, folks who are attentive to our events calendar may recall that not so long ago we had Minnesota rock star novelist Curtis Sittenfeld on our calendar, and she had to cancel because she lost her voice.
Oh.
She is rescheduled for Sunday, June 29th at 2 p.m. That's going to be awesome. I do think there will be a really nice crowd for that event too. And then starting July 1st, right after that, we have our Where's Waldo adventure starting.
Okay, tell us about.
Have we talked about this before?
We have, but tell us, remind me.
So you're familiar with the Where's Waldo books,
of course.
Right? Where
of
you're
course.
Looking for the little guy in the stripy shirt and the stocking cap, right? So, so the publisher of the Where's Waldo books works with bookstores across the country to host a hunt for Waldo throughout their communities in July every year. And this is something we've done a few years running, and it's been a huge hit with kids and families and people who live here and visitors as well. It gives people a great little thing to do to explore our community. So there will be little Waldos hidden in local businesses throughout downtown Northfield for the month of July. They're like about... They're like Smurf sized.
Okay.
They're maybe like 6 or 7 inch Waldos, I would say. And most of the businesses move them around. So you, even if you ask your friends where Waldo is, you might not know when you go in. But if you come to Content or any of the participating businesses, starting July 1st, we'll give you like a bingo card situation where you that lists all the places that Waldo's hiding in downtown Northfield. And you can fill it out and get, you know, and find all those Waldos and you get initialed by the businesses.
Perfect.
So it's a great reason to go check out some businesses that you might not have been into or that you don't, you know, we all have our places that we go to pretty regularly and then other places that are not necessarily on our weekly or monthly habitual circuit. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to have a reason to go to those other spots and get to know the people there and say hi and find Waldo.
Yeah.
And then you can return your completed Waldo scavenger hunt card to Content and you can get a coupon for a little discount on a Waldo book and you get entered into a prize drawing that we do at the end of the month.
What a cool program.
Yeah, it's great. We love it.
That's great. And you get all your like colleagues downtown. Is it just downtown or is it all
over
Northfield?
They're all, we try to keep them all within walking distance of the bookstore so that if people just wander into one of the places and then want to do it, it's often people who are just like wandering downtown on foot.
Sure.
So we try to keep it where people don't have to get in a car to find all the Waldos.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we have a great time with it.
Cool. Anything else we should know about going on over at the wonderful Content Bookstore?
Well, some of my colleagues and I just got back from the American Specialty Toy Retailers Association trade show.
That sounds like a kick.
It sounds
like so much fun.
It's the toy world is a wild and hilarious place, and we had a blast. You can check out some of our madcap adventures on our social media accounts if you want to look at that. But I think the main upshot of that is that we found all kinds of cool new stuff that is going to be coming into the store starting as soon as this week. I just got the delivery notification for one of my new favorites, which is a toy called Pop Darts that are darts that are suction cups.
Nice.
So you can play them pretty much anywhere. They really stick to a lot of things.
Yeah, okay.
You can get little, they have little sets of clingy targets that you can put all over whatever, right? The garage door or the window or the kitchen table or whatever they'll stick to. And then you can just, they're nice, they're soft, they're safe for kids, but challenging enough for grown-ups. So it's fun little indoor, outdoor travel set toy.
Yeah.
Those are arrived today, so we should have them out on the floor hopefully tomorrow.
Cool.
And I try to space out the new stuff, so it'll be rolling in probably every week from now through the holidays, and it's fun and exciting for us to be bringing in a lot of new cool product, new games and toys that we'll get to demo for you. The toy world is full of inventors.
Yeah.
And just when you think that they have thought of every cool, fun thing that they could possibly think of. They come up with new ones. And so we try to bring those in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Time. That's super cool. Mm-hmm. And I love that the things are coming now and we don't have to like wait till Christmas.
Right. Exactly. We try to space it out.
That's good.
I would say we get the most new stuff in like from September 1st to maybe October 15th.
Okay.
But it gets intense. Them
yes.
in the stock room with our receiving. But we got to have some new stuff now too. We don't want to get bored just because it's June. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Cool. All right. Content bookstores open 7 days a week?
We sure are.
What are the hours?
We are open from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Open late until 8 on Thursdays and 11 to 5 on Sundays.
What's the website?
It's www.contentbookstore.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you, Rich.
Oh, it's, I love content so much.
I know. It makes me happy.
You guys, I love those conversations I have with Jessica. They're so amazing. Fun. You guys should like come and check one of those out sometimes. I'm serious. Like we get 5 minutes on the show with Jessica. Those conversations I have with her last like 35 minutes. They're super fun.
You gotta cut it down.
Exactly.
Edited. Good job with your editing skills, thank you. Rich. I'm impressed.
Yeah. All right. So I've been looking at my watch, and I'm estimating at this point, Tom should be coming around any opportunity. Again, super excited. What?
Oh, I just got a text from Tom while we were talking to Jessica.
Good. So he's right around the corner?
No. So as happens for poor Mr. Wensleydale, he was on his way down and up in the north, because that's where he was coming from.
Yeah.
And there was an incident with a moose.
What?
There was an incident
with a moose?
That's what he says here. And
does he actually say, let me look. He actually quoted incident.
And I said, what? And texted him. And so he texted me. Apparently, there was a moose in the middle of the road, a mama moose with several babies, because it's the spring and you don't get in,
no,
in the way of that. And so he had to stop and wait until they moseyed their way across. He nearly hit them, but slammed on his brakes just in time. The trailer fishtailed, but it's okay, he tells me. The trailer is okay. Consequently, though, that took quite a bit of time off of his planned schedule. He will not be here in time. So I am so sorry. But yet again, we do not get to have Tom on the show. I was really looking forward to this trailer. And unfortunately, I think we're going to have to go move those cones because that police car has driven by maybe 4 times now. He keeps going slower and slower by these cones.
Annie is not happy with us. We got
to
do this.
So we'll have Tom on next month, I'm sure.
Will we?
Yes, we will. We will try to have Tom on next month. But
this is horrible because he's actually, his sarcasm with me is starting to shift into a little bit.
Like aggressive sarcasm. More,
It's not so much sarcasm as, I was just talking to him the other week over at Imminent. And he's like, I can't wait to get on your show. And he kind of just gave me a look.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, like, all right, well.
Tom. We'll try to. I'm glad the moose is okay.
I'm not taking this one for the team. This was on this Tom. He should have left. He should have left earlier.
I suppose.
No, he did good by not hitting the moose. You don't hit a moose.
Yeah.
No.
Hitting
a moose is like hitting a wall. That. You're wasting your time and you're probably aggravating the wall. You know what I mean? Yeah. All right. So.
Side quest.
All right, we've talked a lot about camping. Our side quest is very much that. Go out there, use those programs, the ICAM programs. If you don't do camping for a week, try just camping for an evening. There is even an opportunity for you just to set up your campsite.
A week?
If you're going to do it well.
Oh, okay.
I'm not suggesting you camp for a week unless you want to make this like an epic side quest.
I've done that.
Yeah, we have. But you can also just go out there and set up a tent for the day. That's something just to get out of the weather if you need to, or you know, just day camping. I think it's actually called day camping.
That's fine.
Day camping. It's like weirdly close to day drinking, but day camping.
You could do that well, too.
I guess, yeah. Day camping. So that's our side quest.
And then if you are a camper, camp different.
Yeah, go do different.
Go do a camping you've never done before. So if you've always done car camping, go do a backpack camping. If you've always done backpack camping, go canoe camping. Do something different that you've never done before. Or go to a new campsite. Go to a new area. Just go camping. Get out there. Do something you've never done. Mm-hmm. Experience something new. Share it with somebody that you love.
This is a great month to go out and do
that, too. Yeah, this is a really good month.
The weather is starting to get a little bit more easy to predict. Still a little rainy, but not to a point where you're going to be drowning. Feel the night like, oh, it's a 40 days. 40
and that's
days.
Happened to me before, too.
Yes, that's
in the Boundary Waters.
I June. Guess. June, I'm telling you. Yeah, June. It's the month.
It's Rich's favorite month. So that's it for our episode of Geeking Out this month.
Thank you so much for joining us, folks.
As always, good. We look forward to joining us, for you guys to join us next month.
And what is next month?
We are going to talk about summer break breaks. So these are going to be games to play with your kids to keep them engaged over summer break. By the time we get to July's episode, it's going to be midpoint for the summer. Kids are going to be getting on parents' nerves. Parents are getting on kids' nerves. How can we reconnect and enjoy the summer with each other without wanting to kill each other?
And to be clear, we're talking about summer breaks, like breaks to, you know, get out of anything that you're kind of feeling. Is this not working out well? We're not actually talking about breaking up in relationships. We're not here for relationship advice. But we'll still be talking about different types of breaks.
Yes, exactly.
You guys could give relationship advice, though. I mean, you seem like a pretty solid couple.
Oh, there you go. Well, my advice is ask your wife. What does she say? That's the answer.
Yeah, exactly right.
There you go. Don't make there it hard.
When your wife asks you, where are we going for dinner, you say, guess. And when she gives you an answer, you're right.
Oh, see, that's fantastic. We're going to Chick-fil-A? Oh, get out of my mind. Yeah. Who are you? Oh, don't use those powers for evil, please.
Oh, guys. Anyway, that's it. Until next time, I'm Mandy.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Cyrus. Thank you so much, folks. Remember to keep geeking out.
Woo!